The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a cloudy, misty, some people would say dreary Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Look, I don't think this is a dreary day at all. I like days like this. This is Portland weather. This is what it's like in Portland and Seattle a lot of the time. And I got to tell you, when I lived in San Diego, I mean, the weather is incredible every freaking day. I could not wait to come back home. I was living in San Diego. I couldn't wait to come back home and see a thunderstorm. So, I love the variety of weather we have here. And really, this shouldn't be a down day. We need the rain. This is not much rain. It's just kind of a misty rain. I mean, I barely had to use my windshield wipers driving in from West End. And be careful out there because, the streets are really, really slick. But, this is just part of the cycle. But, I can tell you, for someone who lived in an area where the weather was nice every day, especially coming from this area, I missed a thunderstorm. So, appreciate the varied weather that we have. And believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but there's another system down there in the Caribbean that's going to sort of work its way toward the Yucatan and maybe into the Gulf. This is really kind of unbelievable that this is happening this much in November. And again, for those of you who want to start to put together the chart that things are happening, indicating this is the end of the world, I think these weather systems are part of that. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. We have a lot to talk about this afternoon. Really glad you're with us. Ian is off today, so Coleman is our studio producer. We'll be taking care of your text messages today. And this was breaking news just before I came on the air. A Spirit Airlines plane and a JetBlue plane were hit by gunfire over Haiti, flying into Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. And apparently these are gangs trying to discourage people from traveling to Haiti. Yeah, that would discourage me. I mean, if you're going to start firing at, when planes are coming in for a landing, I mean, they're low enough to hit with gunfire. You don't have to have, like, sophisticated missiles or guns or anything to hit planes. But that's really scary, because if they would have hit, say, the fuel tank, if they would have hit some other part of the plane other than just the fuselage, I mean, that could have been a disaster. I mean, they could have hit the commode area, the laboratory area. They could have had all that stuff fall on them. And that would have been poetic justice if that would have happened. But that's insane. So I don't know, but I hadn't planned to go to Haiti. And now I'm still not planning to go to Haiti. So that's something that, we'll be watching because that's really insane. All right. The Brady Bunch actors are now talking about hookups. Greg said that when he went out with Maureen, who played Marcia, and he kissed her, that was her first kiss. I always heard rumors that Greg hooked up with Carol, the mom, Florence Henderson. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I want to believe it's true, but I don't know if that's true. And who was hooking up with Alice? That's a whole different story. So anyway, the Brady Bunch actors are going to be part of the Brady Experience sweepstakes that allows fans to stay in the original Brady Bunch house with some of the actors. I mean, that would really be kind of cool. And I wonder if they really only have one bathroom. Now, the Brady Bunch house, I mean, have they changed the inside of that actual house in California? Have they changed the inside to where it looks like the set? Because we saw the facade of the house. You know, you saw the outside of the house. But the inside wasn't necessarily like the script. Like the stage, what was not in the script, but what was on the stage, what we saw. So I wonder if it was if they changed it at all to be the same. I mean, they should, because that would really make it authentic. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that later. The Pet Shop Boys, big hit was West End Girls, but they had a few other hits. Opportunities, you know, you get the looks, I get the money. I get the looks, you get the looks, I get the money, whatever. Let's make lots of money, whatever that song was. Opportunity. The Pet Shop Boys are criticizing modern pop music, saying it's narcissistic and too processed. Seems to me that that's kind of what people said about their music back in the 80s. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Hey, you know that comedian, Tony Hinchcliffe, the guy who said that Puerto Rico was a floating island, was floating garbage in the ocean? He's not apologizing to anybody. He says, I'm not apologizing to anybody. That's my humor. If you don't like it, too bad. He says, I go hard, and that's never going to change. I never heard of the guy, and the way he delivered the line didn't seem that funny to me. I don't know, maybe he's funnier in a stand-up routine in a comedy club, but I just didn't think even his delivery was that funny at the rally. He also did other jokes about black and Latino people, and it was really kind of a disgusting thing, but, you know, I mean, that's comedy. Also, Scott Jennings, who is one of the conservative voices on CNN, Scott Jennings is all bent out of shape because Jimmy Kimmel cried after the election. And while that might be a little extreme, Scott Jennings goes on to go, hey, when are these late-night hosts going to be funny again? And so what Scott Jennings is saying is that any jokes about Donald Trump are not funny to him, but he's not the one to judge what's funny. Comedians and these TV shows, they perform for their audience in the same way that Fox News performs for its audience. They give the audience what the audience wants. Stephen Colbert, these different shows, Jimmy Fallon to a lesser degree, he's not nearly as political as Kimmel or Stephen Colbert or Seth Meyers. These guys are really political. And they really get into it. And they have used Donald Trump as a target for comedy. I wrote a blog about this. Conservatives, you know, about late night television host, they're bashing the late night talk show host because they say they're not funny. Well, the stuff's funny to a lot of people. And judging comedy is subjective. Who decides what's funny? Some people think jokes about Donald Trump are damn funny. And again, here we have somebody who is a Republican who is uncharacteristically playing the victim card. Oh, they make jokes about Trump. Poor us. They're picking on us. Why don't they just try to be funny? Well, again, to a lot of people, that stuff is funny. So we're going to talk about that this afternoon as well. So you've heard about these Wicked dolls, dolls that are modeled after the characters from the movie Wicked, which is going to be released on November 22nd. Thanksgiving is a big time for movies to be released. So this is another one of the movies being released around Thanksgiving. Mattel inadvertently posted a website on the side of the box that is the website of a porn site. It takes you to pornography. Instead of wickedmovie.com, they put the website wicked.com. Now, how did this get out? Mattel is such a big company. How in the hell did this even happen? And could this have been done on purpose? You know, there were people who criticized Disney. I don't believe it. I mean, I think there are people who are looking for phallic symbols everywhere, and I think that's their problem. It's not my problem. But if something looked like a phallic symbol, people thought, oh, that's a phallic symbol. And even if it is a phallic symbol, I mean, so what? That's not telling kids to do anything wrong. So anyway, there are people who believe that there is malicious intent behind anything like this. Do you think this was done on purpose? I mean, how could this mistake have happened at Mattel? I mean, they've got people watching people watching people. I mean, they've got a lot of redundancy at a company like this. How does a mistake like this get out? Wicked.com as opposed to wickedmovie.com. Man, somebody should lose their job over this, because wicked.com is the link to a pornographic website. So you really got to be careful what you post. We'll talk a little bit about that. All right, Elon Musk apparently is the guest that will not leave Mar-a-Lago. He's been there since after the election, and apparently he won't leave. He's hanging out there, playing on the grounds with his son, and he is going to be an integral part of the Trump administration. Whether anybody thinks that's good or bad, some people think it's good, some people think it's bad, but Elon Musk is going to be a really important part of the Trump administration. And just like Donald Trump, sometimes having a lot of money is not enough. A lot of people with money, they don't want just money. They want to be famous. They want to make a statement, they want to be celebrities. And although Elon Musk was somewhat of a celebrity before, he's going to be even more of a celebrity. And now his money is buying his way. He's buying his way into politics, buying his way into being an integral part of the White House and government in America. And by supporting Donald Trump, his money is buying his way into being an influence. So we'll see how all of this plays out. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to some of your texts coming up. Let's go to Edward in Metairie. Edward, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Several years ago, the Property Brothers, you know who they are, the guys with the house, the show on HGTV.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't watch those shows, but I'm familiar with who you're talking about.
Okay. They went into the Brady house, and they redid it back to the way it was during the filming as much as possible. There were some things they could not find or change. But they did that about 3 years ago.
So they redid the interior to fit the set.
They did the windows because they had moved some, whoever had the house at one point had done something with the windows and stuff. So they redid it as much as it was that could be done to match the original Brady Bunch house at the time it was in film.
So if you had a chance to stay in there with some of the cast members, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody would make a move on Marsha.
She couldn't go too far away. Yeah. She's not, she's
Marcia,
a little older, but
are you in there? or hide in the bathroom and wait for Marcia to come in.
Oh, my God.
All right, Edward, listen, I appreciate the call. All right, if you've got a comment, you want to join us this afternoon, we are going to have a little fun. The Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And when we come back, we'll get to some of your text messages. Ian is off, and Coleman is our studio producer. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be right back on WW.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey, listen, the election's over and the American people have spoken, and Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States January 20th next year. So that's all set. I'm going to be optimistic. I really am. I mean, I hope Donald Trump does some of the things that he says he's going to do. If he lowers inflation, I got more money. I'm going to love that. If the border's under control, America's a better place. That's cool. But I have some concerns that, in my opinion, are not worth the trade-offs for some of the positive things. And as I have expressed, one of my biggest concerns is freedom of speech. and the idea of attacking people who disagree with him. That is just totally un-American. And you cannot consider yourself a patriotic American if you favor a presidential candidate retaliating against people who disagree with him. That's just totally un-American. I got an email from Janice. I got a number of emails from Janice. I don't read all of them because they're just, many of them are nonsensical. And this one just simply says, if I say something not true, I'm sorry, but if I want to speak, I will. Janice, nobody's stopping you from speaking. But on this show, you're not going to talk about things that aren't true. You're not going to call up with bogus stuff. And if you do, and if I detect something is bogus or from a bogus website, or if I ask you where you found something, I heard it on the internet. I saw it on the internet. I mean, that's not an acceptable answer today. I know you because you send me your sources, and some of your sources are bogus, and they might even be Russians. So no, that stuff's not acceptable on our show. And if anybody wants to criticize us for weeding out things that are bogus and not true, that's okay. I'm happy to have that image of being honest and telling the truth. So, you know, you can speak if you want to, but not on this show. So if you have something to say, you're welcome to call our show, but don't say something bogus or something that you just happen to hear. And if it sounds bogus to me, I'll challenge it. I'm sorry, but that's my job. All right, I'm going to get to some of your texts here in just a moment. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How you doing today, big guy?
I'm good.
Good, man. I like the way you opened that up, man. The election is over. We can all move forward, and let's be optimistic. What a way to open it up. But my question to you is, you left off on the last break. You made a statement about Elon Musk, alleging that he was buying his way into politics and yada, yada, yada. But what I want to know is, what is wrong with the younger, wealthier group getting into politics, regardless of how they get into it, considering that all of the people from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they've been buying their way into politics for decades. That's how it goes. That's why we have nominations, elections, and so forth. Do you agree?
Well, listen. No, I'm a hostile witness to my generation. I'm a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation. And I'm not one who always defends my generation because I see the flaws in my generation. I'm all for younger people.
That's my question exactly. You don't think it's time for the next generation with the new ideas and the thoughts
yes.
that we have?
It's Jesse, I talked about that all during the election. I talked about how young people should get out and vote so their voice is heard. I mean, this is a consistent message from this show.
Elon Musk is part of that generation. He may be a 70s baby or whenever he was born, but he's a part of that generation with the newer ideas. And whether he is wealthy or not, I don't think it matters as it relates to whether he wants to be a part of politics or not. The point is, how about some new ideas? If they're going to be funded by wealthy people, let's do it. Let's put the pressure on their back and let's move forward. The ideas from the Pelosi administration and all those other old heads from the 50s and 60s, my friend, they're rusted. They're dusted.
Hey, I agree. Man, I've talked about Nancy Pelosi being a dinosaur for years. I mean, the Democrats should get her ass out of there.
I don't mean to pick on her.
Look, Jesse, I'm agreeing with you, but that doesn't mean I agree with everybody who's younger. There are things about Elon Musk that scare me. So it's not that he's younger. I'm not criticizing younger people. I have questions about Elon Musk.
He was just an example. He was just an example based off of what you said.
This is a problem we have in America where people think that if you criticize one person, you're criticizing every group that that person could possibly belong to. And that's not true.
Yes,
I'm all for young thought.
Yes,
but there are some things about Elon Musk that, you know, the only reason he's there is because he has money. You know, he didn't get there based on his political merit. He got there only because of money. And so maybe he doesn't belong there. I don't know. We have to wait and see. I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but we can certainly question what he does. That's what we do.
Fair enough. That's what we do. I agree. Okay.
All right,
Fair
Jesse.
Enough.
All right. Have a great afternoon. Glad you called the show. Let's get to a couple of texts. The oligarchy with Elon and Trump is here. So excited. Not. Here's a text that says, he's my favorite African-American Uncle Scoot. Here's a text that says, so what does it matter? Let Elon Musk buy his way in, just like all of the old heads have done their way, let's see, for decades that have passed in time. Let the younger generation and the 50s and 60s babies need to go. It's time for a new younger regime. Get over it. Move on. Love the show. All right, look, I get that. And I'm not criticizing young people. But Elon Musk has done some questionable things, and let's see how things work out. But remember, the only reason he's there is because he has money. And just because somebody has money doesn't mean they're a good person. Because somebody has money doesn't mean they're ethical. It doesn't mean they're moral. It doesn't mean that they have your best interest at heart. They're in a special club, and they may have their club's interest at heart. They don't care about impressing the average person. They care about impressing each other. And so when you're not voted on and you just get in because you have money, you know, I mean, I think there's a legitimate reason to be curious about this person. So, you know, let's see. Also, Elon Musk has, I think it's Starlink, and Elon Musk has been talking to Putin on a regular basis. Elon Musk, if he wanted to, could side with Russia, and it seems like he's leaned in this direction, and cut off access, cut off some internet access, some social media internet access to Ukraine, and allow Russia to have an advantage there. So it seems like Elon Musk has shown, business-wise, a tendency to support Russia. So again, you know, I'm not condemning him. I'm just saying, you know, I think this is worth watching. Here's a text that says, I bet she was reading Hunter Biden's laptop that was made up by the Russians. I bet she was reading.
I think that's in reference to James's source materials.
Oh, well, maybe so. I mean, who knows? You know, and the laptop thing, you know, is that still going on? I mean, why don't we solve that? I mean, if he did something wrong, put him in jail. If he didn't do anything wrong, shut up about it. Is Elon Musk even an American citizen? I really don't know. I don't either. I don't know. He's from South Africa.
Yeah, he was born in South Africa, but I think he did migrate here legally. I think he is. He did become a naturalized citizen.
Okay. All right. Well,
I believe he has dual citizenship.
Yeah, he could. He could. Yeah, I've never questioned him being an American citizen, and I've never questioned that part of him. Scoot, Pelosi isn't a dinosaur. She isn't that old, but I've seen her birth certificate, and it's printed on papyrus. Okay, well, I understand. That would be post the dinosaur era. So she's not that old. But if it was printed on papyrus, it's pretty old. And if you ever went to Epcot and you went through the golf ball thing, if you went through that, you know all about papyrus. CNN conservative condemns late night talk show host. I wrote a blog about this. It's posted on our website at WWL.com. It should also be posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment on it, and I'm going to read some of your comments during the show this afternoon. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Chris Wallace, who is really one of the credible people on CNN, is leaving CNN. At the end of his contract, he's leaving CNN, and he says that Joe Rogan and Charlemagne the God have inspired him to leave the cable network and become an independent podcaster, and to get into that that part of the business. And that's where a lot of people are headed. He joined CNN in January of 2022 after being at the Fox News for nearly 20 years. And he told the Daily Beast that he would leave the network at the end of his three-year contract, and he would become an independent broadcaster doing things like Joe Rogan. And let's see how that goes. You know, a lot of people who leave broadcast, they actually do better doing podcast and YouTube channels. And it really is it's amazing to watch this whole phenomenon. And things are changing. And, you know, a lot of baby boomers don't like the changes because a lot of people are just uncomfortable with change. But change is the basis of everything. And if you don't adapt to change, If you don't accept change as a reality, then you're going to be left behind. And if you're left behind and you refuse to accept change as something that happens in our society, that's nobody's fault but your own. And a lot of people who Trump relates to feel left behind. They feel like they're just not part of it anymore. But some of that has to do with they have not kept up with trends. They have not kept up with the new economy. You know, again, what do you think America was like when we were evolving from an agricultural-based economy to an industrial-based economy? Don't you think there was disruption then? Of course there was. There was a lot of disruption. People were scared. People were paranoid. People were afraid of the change. But the change was inevitable. I mean, we couldn't continue to be an agricultural-based economy. I mean, this is in history. I'm not making this stuff up. And so we're going through that change now. This is another great disruption in America. We're going from an industrial-based economy. We have been for a while now, but a lot of people are still not used to it. Bringing manufacturing jobs back is not the future of America. The future of America is tech. It's service-based industries. And it's other things. It's clean energy power. It's other things. I mean, we're evolving. Our society is evolving just like it did in those days when we went from agricultural to an industrial-based economy. And so, I mean, what would you say to those people? Hey, you know, the agricultural people, they didn't get it. They didn't keep up. They didn't see the future. So, you know, the hell with them. We became a manufacturing economy. That's the way it was. Well, we're changing now. And we have been for quite some time. So you either keep up or you get left out. And a lot of people back then felt left out. A lot of people now feel left out.
And to piggyback on that, sometimes I think it's also a comprehension skill, too, like not seeing where something is going when it's brand new if you don't have the concept in your brain. Because I remember right when Twitter launched, I didn't understand the concept. It was like only 70 characters, and I didn't get, like, what use would it have? Like, I don't get the hashtagging. I didn't catch on. But now it's like, I don't see social media without a Twitter the way it's launched. So I didn't get the concept and I didn't comprehend the newness of it. And it sounded ridiculous. You only get 70 characters and you can't even do this and nobody gets to see your pictures. But now look what it's evolved to. I think it kind of affected the last election.
I know. I can relate to that because I didn't get the pet rock back in the 70s. I mean, I didn't get it. The pet rock, people are going to buy this. They did. And guess what? I bought one too.
I had a pet rock, but it died. I didn't take care of it correctly.
Mine rolled out in the street and got hit by a car. Sad, sad day. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. If you've got a comment this afternoon, the Okanoy Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It is a gray Tuesday afternoon, but hey, let's be positive. And we're going to have even more rain tomorrow. Possibly some severe storms are going to hit us. And, you know, there's another system in the Caribbean to watch. Nobody thinks it's going to become anything, but they have to watch it. And we've learned how unpredictable those things can be. I don't think it's going to affect us, but it's kind of unbelievable that we have to watch that. All right, we're coming right back with more on WWE.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go back to 1966 on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1966, this was the number one album in the country. It stayed there for 13 weeks. I remember. I think the show was on. This is my memory. I think the Monkees was on Channel 6 at 6:30 on Monday night. And I remember coming home from school, and I remember watching the Monkees. And, you know, it was kind of a wacky show. It wasn't really much about the music. I think the guys became musicians, but they weren't really musicians in the beginning. I had several conversations with Davy Jones, and he was just the most delightful person. And I was so sad when he passed away. But, so, yeah, 1966, the Monkees dominated.
So I wasn't around. Was the Monkees an actual band, or was it a band like the Partridge Family, where it was like a TV show band?
Well, Michael Nesmith played guitar. I think Mickey Dolenz kind of learned to play the drums. You know, Davy Jones played tambourine. I think he was a real tambourine player. I don't know about Peter Tork. I think the guys sort of, I think they were selected for the way that they looked, and then they actually became musicians while they were doing it. You know, the Partridge Family, I mean, those kids were never really musicians, except for David Cassidy and Shirley Jones, the mom. But the Monkees were, you know, it was a show picking, you know, the people who were right for the part, and then they kind of became musicians. But, I mean, it was a wacky show with, you know, chopped up editing and you know, fast moving things. And, you know, some of it was like really stupid. But, you know, I mean, I was a stupid kid, so, I mean, I could relate to it. I mean, they were doing stupid television for stupid kids, and I was one of the stupid kids. So, you know, I loved it. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the SOTA Facebook page, the video that I did yesterday after the show, keep politics out of the NFL. Should Biden resign and let Kamala be president for a month? And was Kamala really the border czar? And I mean, this thing went crazy. I got a lot of reaction, and this got a lot of views. Here's one from Robert that says, folks seem to be too much on the edge these days. Maybe a nice Christmas song would help. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's getting deported by ICE. I like that. That's cool. Here is a comment from Eric. It says, so the women who raised $1 billion ended up $20 million in debt. We're going to fix the U.S. economy. I really don't know what that means. Maybe you do. I don't know what that means. Sherry says that wasn't the case when they were all wearing Black Lives Matter attire. You know, the people who defended that football player, Nick Bosa from the 49ers, who wore a MAGA hat at a postgame interview and got fined over $11,000 by the NFL. The people who loved that didn't like players wearing Black Lives Matter stuff. What's the difference? It's the same thing. I mean, unless you want stamped on your forehead, I'm a big, dumb idiot, hypocrite, idiotic hypocrite. I'm a big, dumb, idiotic hypocrite. That should be on the foreheads of some people. You know, if you think one is okay and the other's not okay, you're a hypocrite. At least admit it. Don't act like one's different from the other. The kneeling thing. People who would support the guy wearing the MAGA hat were against the kneeling. I think the MAGA hat was wrong. The kneeling was wrong. The Black Lives Matter was wrong. I think all of it's wrong. You know, at least on this show, I'm consistent. And I think it's all wrong. And especially for those who don't want performers who have a stage to bring politics onto their stage, the NFL players should not bring politics onto their stage, and they are entertainers. So leave the MAGA hat alone. If you want to do the Trump dance in the end zone after a touchdown, I don't have a problem with that because, you know, that's just a stupid dance. I don't think he should be busted for that. But something as definitive as wearing a MAGA hat, again, I think this just points out the hypocrisy that we live with. And this is the thing that I struggle with most in America, the hypocrisy. If people were just honest, and when you're not honest with your opinions, when you're not honest enough to admit, hey, guess what? You know, our guy did wrong because we think that's wrong. Instead, people say, well, our guy's right, even though it's the same thing as that person did. They're wrong because I don't agree with it. I don't agree with their philosophy. That's maddening. That's the hypocrisy that is like so hard to deal with in America today. And it didn't used to be like this. Now, we talk about this all the time because it's so obvious to me, and I love to call it out when we can. So, yeah, if you want to, if you haven't done it yet, I hope you'll join me on Facebook. It's real simple. Scoot on the Air Facebook. Just join us. And a comment on what we post. And I encourage you to comment on the comments, because some of the comments deserve you to comment on them. And a lot of people comment on the things that I post about the comments. So it's a Scoot on the Air Facebook. It's an extension of our show. And I'll read some more comments later. The current blog that is posted on the SOTA Facebook page and the WWL.com website is titled CNN Conservative Condemns Late Night TV Hosts. Should they be condemned? They bash Trump. They bash Trump badly. And Scott Jennings, a conservative voice on CNN, was talking about this, and I think he's a big fat hypocrite, but we'll get into that in the next hour. All right, if you do have a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So on this day, you know, the 60s were a rough time. And it was on this day, back in the 60s, it was on this day, specifically 1966. Teenagers in Los Angeles on Sunset Boulevard were protesting. They were protesting a curfew that had gone into effect. They were beaten by police. I don't remember all the details. I don't know what they were doing, but chances are they didn't deserve to be beaten by the police. But back in 1966, in the 60s, the police used to beat people, especially if they disagreed with their actions. That moment of the teenagers rioting on Sunset Boulevard on this day in 1966 inspired Stephen Stills, who was with Buffalo Springfield, to write this song. And it is haunting that the lyrics of this song are very pertinent to today. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, also on this day in 1966, Johnny Rivers' hit Poor Side of Town was the number one song in America. This song brings back memories of me slow dancing at CYO parties or house parties and just try to snuggle up as close to the person as you could. Because, I mean, we were a generation that was like really, really shy. Well, most of us were. I was very shy. Some of the people were not, but most of us were kind of shy compared to today's young generation. And, you know, man, slow dancing and getting really close to somebody was a big deal. And sometimes they could tell that you were happy to be dancing with them. I'm Scoot. All right, we'll talk about well, it's true. We'll talk about the late night TV host. Should they be condemned? When are they going to be funny again? We'll talk about that coming up. All right, I know a lot of people consider this weather to be dreary and, you know, it's a downer. And, you know, as I pointed out at the beginning of the show today, don't look at it like that. You know, weather change is nice. I'm telling you, I don't think you would like it to be nice every single day, especially if you've been here for a long time or you grew up here. We get used to thunderstorms. We get used to different weather. And I enjoy the weather change. And this is a weather change. And, you know, we'll get through this. And then after Wednesday, it is going to be beautiful, great temperatures, cool at night, cool in the morning, warming up into the 70s during the day. It's going to be beautiful for, you know, the next 4 or 5 days. So we're going to have great weather. Let's just get through today and tomorrow. And don't let this be a downer for you. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We have a great Tuesday text-off coming up at the end of this hour. So I hope you will participate in that. Ian is off. Coleman is our studio producer today. So look, this Tulane Navy game this weekend, Saturday at 11 o'clock, this is a huge game. I don't know what channel it's on, but I would think that one of the major networks, or ESPN, is going to carry this game. Because this Tulane Navy game is going to be special. And, you know, Navy's a hell of a team, but they've shown some flaws. And Tulane, 8-2, you know, Tulane's kicking butt. So hopefully Tulane wins. And boy, the weather this weekend is going to just be incredible for that game. That should be a sellout. Tulane Navy this Saturday, 11 a.m. And again, I'm assuming this is going to be a nationally a broadcast game. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to some of your texts coming up. House Republicans say that they are now ready to deliver Trump's agenda in a way that they did not do it in 2017.
Congressional Republicans say they will hit the ground running once President-elect Donald Trump takes office.
We are ready to deliver on America's mandate.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says 8 years ago, the GOP was not prepared for Trump's win and Congress wasted precious time. Not this time.
We will be ready on day one. We are prepared this time.
Even though the House majority is too early to call, Johnson says he expects unified GOP control, paving the way toward enacting Trump's agenda. The speaker says the president-elect will visit with House Republicans tomorrow on Capitol Hill, likely before stopping here to meet with President Biden. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
And Trump's White House team continues to come together. A Florida congressman who is a retired Green Beret will be national security advisor.
An insider tells the Associated Press a Florida congressman who's a retired Green Beret was selected to serve as national security advisor. Republican Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida was just elected to a fourth term. The former Green Beret serves on several military and intelligence-related committees. A source tells the Associated Press Waltz is Donald Trump's pick for national security advisor. Waltz is considered a hawk on China and expressed his opposition to wokeness in the military in 2021, criticizing a class being taught to cadets.
Taught by a woman who described the Republican Party platform as a platform of white supremacy. This is going on at West Point as we speak.
He'll be dealing with the growing tensions among Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, along with the Russia-Ukraine war. I'm Jackie Quinn.
All right, this is no surprise. The judge in Trump's hush money porn star cover-up case has delayed sentencing on Trump's 34 felony convictions.
The New York judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money case delays ruling on whether to scrap the president-elect's conviction. Tuesday's postponement comes as prosecutors ponder next steps and Trump's lawyers argue for dismissing it so he can run the country. Judge Juan Merchan told Trump's lawyers he'd delay the ruling until November 19th so prosecutors can suggest a way forward. George Mason Law professor Ilya Soman weighs in.
The likely options is either the case would be frozen or thrown out because he's a sitting president, or alternatively, the case continues, but he gets a sentence other than prison.
A jury convicted Trump in May of falsifying business records related to a $130,000 hush money payment to Stormy Daniels in 2016. Trump denies wrongdoing. Julie Walker, New York.
One of the last remaining uncalled Senate races has a winner. And it ain't Carrie Lake.
Democrat Ruben Gallego of Arizona has won his U.S. Senate race against Republican Carrie Lake, stopping the Republican majority at 53 with all of the Senate races called.
I'm a husband, a Marine, and father, and a proud Arizonan. And with the results we saw tonight, your next senator from the great state of Arizona.
The five-term House member and Iraq War veteran downplayed his progressive voting record and focused on his up-by-the-bootstraps life story, crediting his single mother who raised him and three sisters on a secretary's salary.
She worked night and day, all to give us a shot at the American dream.
Gallego attacked his opponent Carrie Lake on abortion and got more votes in Arizona than Kamala Harris, suggesting a substantial number of Arizonans supported Donald Trump at the top of the ticket and a Democrat for Senate. Gallego becomes the first Latino senator to represent Arizona and will replace independent and former Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. I'm Jennifer King.
I'm so glad Carrie Lake lost. I mean, she's nothing but a right-wing radical. She's a noisemaker. She's not a policymaker. She's a very shallow human being. And I'm so glad she lost. All right, if you're trading in cryptocurrency, it looks like the Trump years might be profitable for you. But the news is not all good.
Money continues to pour into crypto following Donald Trump's victory on Election Day. The world's largest cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, topped $87,000 for the first time.
What you're seeing is the Trump pump.
Sarah Streeter with financial services company Hargraves Lansdowne says you could see this post-election boost coming.
Many in the crypto world had courted Trump, and also he'd spoken at major crypto events, and members of his family have also set up investments and a crypto company.
But crypto expert Garrick Heilman says the Biden administration kept a watchful eye on crypto.
So if you now introduce a light touch arena, you could have this kind of boomerang effect where even more fraud and crime take place.
Which he says could have a very negative effect on people looking to adopt crypto as a real asset. I'm Ed Donahue.
All right. In local news, as a result of absolutely everybody seeing what was coming, Jeff Landry's Ten Commandments law is running into legal problems.
A judge has blocked a new Louisiana law requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every public classroom by January. The judge said the law is unconstitutional on its face, and plaintiffs are likely to win their case with claims that the law violates the First Amendment. Opponents say the law is a violation of the separation of church and state, and that the poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments would isolate students. Advocates, meanwhile, say the measure isn't just religious, but the commandments also have historical significance in the foundation of U.S. law. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Well, so does the Bible have historical reference to our laws. That's it for Scoot's News Briefs. Let's talk about this. This is in the news. You heard Chris Miller talking about this earlier, and I made a note about this before the show when I heard that a federal judge has declared this unconstitutional. I knew it. Many of you knew it. But this is what I mean when I call Jeff Landry a right-wing radical. He doesn't care about the Constitution. He cares about his ideology. He cares about telling people how to lead their lives. He cares about enforcing his religious beliefs on everybody. People like Jeff Landry can say whatever they want, but they are trying to... You know how people like Jeff Landry say that you know, they don't like the idea that gays might recruit people into their lifestyle? And I don't think that really happens. But Jeff Landry wants to recruit people into this right-wing Christian nationalism. This is an example of this. He's costing you and me money. He's costing the state of Louisiana money with something that is a slam dunk. And even if this gets to the conservative U.S. Supreme Court, I don't think they're going to side with Jeff Landry. So Jeff Landry's wasting our money. It's a no-brainer. It's unconstitutional to put the Ten Commandments in the classroom. It doesn't mean I'm anti-Christian. It doesn't mean anybody who believes that is anti-Christian. It means that they understand the Constitution. If you don't respect and understand the Constitution, don't pretend to be some almighty Republican moralist who, you know, is a patriotic American. You cannot deny the Constitution and call yourself a patriotic American. So is Jeff Landry vicariously calling himself a non-patriot? He's a right-wing radical. He's trying to enforce his views. He did it as Attorney General. He's trying to do it as governor. And he's wasting our money. You know, it costs money to challenge these. It costs money for it to get to this point. And it's going to cost money for this to take the next step. You think Jeff Landry's going to stop? No. He's going to spend our money because Jeff Landry is using the office of governor of Louisiana to get national attention. That's the only way this nonsensical quest can be explained. If you want to join us with a comment, and don't be so simple-minded as to think if you're against the Ten Commandments in the classroom, you're somehow against God, or you're against religion, or you're not a good person. That's bogus. That's a shallow, shallow argument. The argument is about what is constitutional. And people who believe in God, people who see Jesus as their Savior, can also understand that the Ten Commandments don't need to be in the classroom. So this is a total no-brainer, and Landry just shows his colors as a right-wing radical by pushing this forward. If you want to join us with your comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back with more of your comments. Also, we're going to get to some of your text messages. All right, it is a rainy afternoon. Drive carefully. Don't let this rain get to you. And even more rain coming tomorrow.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Adele says that when she takes three shots of tequila, she turns into a vicious, brawling drunk. But Adele says that she can drink 25 bottles of wine in one sitting and stay sober. I want to go to our drinking expert, Coleman, and ask him about this. Coleman, 25 bottles of wine and she stays sober in one sitting? I don't believe it.
I can. It all depends on the type of alcohol she's acclimated to. There's the saying that white gets you hype and brown keeps you down. Different people do react differently based on what type of alcohol they drank. For instance, when I drank great alcohol, like great beer, you know, I can handle it pretty well. But when I drank like cheaper beer, the hangovers are worse. I may behave a little bit.
Yeah, I understand that.
So.
But really, 25 bottles in one sitting. I mean, I guess, you know, if one sitting is, 14 hours, you know, that I can see maybe that happening. But I mean, because of her body chemistry, she just might not react to wine the way she reacts to other liquors.
So when I drink by myself, I don't handle that. I can't take as many shots. I may be able to take three shots of Jaeger and one beer if I'm just sitting there drinking and I'm just in my own little zone. However, I do find that when I'm socializing and I'm talking to people, like on a Friday or a weekend, I'm able to take a little bit more because as I'm drinking, I'm also pacing it out with talking, having conversations, laughing. They may buy something at the bar to eat, to snack on. So, So if it's something like that where she's drinking, I'm quite sure if she drinks tequila and wine, I'm sure tequila is for her and wine is for when she socializes.
Yeah, I just thought this was extraordinary that she can drink 25 bottles of wine in one sitting and remain sober.
I'm just impressed she drinks tequila. I think I like it, especially with her voice being that beautiful. You would think if you take three shots of tequila, your voice would crap out, but...
Wow, that was amazing. All right, we're going to get to your calls and texts coming up. When the late night TV hosts do their thing, it's funny. So some people are wondering, well, when are they going to be funny again? You know, that was the essence of what CNN conservative contributor Scott Jennings said on Night News with Abby Phillips on CNN. The conservative voice condemned the late night host for being political activists instead of comedians. And, I mean, this is not a new direction for late night host. Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, and to a lesser degree, Jimmy Fallon, have been criticized for making politics a big part of their stand-up openings at the beginning of their shows. But is the criticism fair? I don't think it is. Political-based comedy is not a new thing. It's changed. It might be a little more vicious these days, but everything is a little more vicious these days. I mean, even Johnny Carson made jokes about presidents and presidential candidates and high-profile figures. Here's a joke that Johnny Carson told about Joe Biden. Johnny Carson said, "Now, on the political side, one of the Democratic candidates, Senator Joseph Biden, have you seen the problems he's been having? He went around and made a speech, and apparently he quoted a British politician, took his speech and paraphrased it in his own words. But the press got on him, and he also is charged with taking part of Bobby Kennedy speeches. And Biden says, not to worry. He reassured his staff, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Which, of course, is plagiarism, because somebody else said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Some people might have needed the joke to be explained. Johnny Carson made fun of Donald Trump continuously. Jennifer Flowers had an affair with Bill Clinton. And at some point in her life, Jennifer Flowers was fired. And Johnny said, hey, Jennifer Flowers got a new job. She's a backup mistress to Donald Trump. So cracking jokes about politics is nothing new. It's what the late-night hosts have always done. And many on the right are overly sensitive when their side is being made fun of. This is an example of how the right, which has a history of condemning people who constantly play the victim card, are actually playing the victim card themselves. Stephen Colbert, the host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS, has been viciously critical of Donald Trump and has made a lot of jokes about Donald Trump. Jimmy Kimmel on ABC actually cried after the election was lost by Kamala Harris. So here's what Scott Jennings said on CNN the other day. The rest of these people have become pathetic. I mean, they stopped being comedians and they started becoming political activists. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel out there crying. I mean, it's pathetic. And so my question is, if you're going to have a late night comedy show, at some point people might expect you to be funny. And it's not a constant political comment against one party. And I don't know about this activism. Four more years is sustainable if you're going to market something as comedy, but the actual product is nothing more than some sort of lowbrow political activism. Jennings is just playing the victim card, and he's being a snowflake. Jennings is pissed off because his guy, Donald Trump, is being made fun of. But Donald Trump signed up for this when he came down the escalator and announced he was running for president. What presidential candidate has not been the target of humor? What president has not been the target of humor? Zero. None. And for those who want to continue to play the victim card and say, well, it's never been this vicious. Well, the pop culture world has become more vicious in general. So in the context of the times, what Johnny Carson did is just as controversial as what people are doing today, if you consider political commentary, comedy, to be controversial. Also, from the beginning, Donald Trump attacked the media every day of his life. And every day, Donald Trump has given the media outrageous things to talk about. We've gone over those things. Comedy is based on reality. Whatever, and I mean whatever, is being talked about in the mainstream media is subject to a joke. To Scott Jennings and to everyone who has become overly sensitive that you're being attacked, just relax and realize that comedy is just comedy. And outrageous figures, and Donald Trump is an outrageous public figure, will always get the most attention when it comes to comedy. Jimmy Kimmel crying after the election was over, okay, that was a bit much. But every good sitcom, from All in the Family to Frasier, had moments of contemplation. Juxtaposed to the comedy, every good sitcom had serious moments about life. And Jimmy Kimmel crying was one of those serious moments. The late night hosts are doing their shows for their audiences, just like Fox News does the news that panders to their audience. It's no different. The audiences that attend and watch late-night TV shows are laughing their asses off at the political jokes. So, if Scott Jennings is such an expert on comedy, why doesn't he start his own show and make fun of Democrats and liberals? I mean, there's a lot to make fun of there. The Fox News show with Greg Gutfeld, that's a funny show. They make fun of Democrats and liberals. Should liberals complain that they're being unfairly targeted with comedy? I mean, let's just remember this basic idea. Comedy targets an audience, and not everyone thinks everything is funny, and that's okay. When you're laughing at a joke, someone else is offended. When you're offended, someone else is laughing. So get over it, Scott Jennings, and understand that judging comedy is subjective, and you don't speak for everyone when it comes to what's funny or what's not funny. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Stephen Colbert and all of those late night hosts are making millions millions a year doing their comedy, and much of it targets Donald Trump and the Republicans. This is a free market society. Why would they stop if they're making millions? And whether they make millions or not, that's not up to you. That's up to the audience. The audience decides what is successful and what is not successful. You can totally disagree with it. That's okay. But don't act like nobody likes it, because if nobody liked it, they wouldn't be on the air. They're on the air because a lot of people like it. And it might be unsettling that a lot of people like making fun of your candidate or your ideology, but I think we all need to just sit back and relax a little bit and realize that it doesn't matter. I mean, all of the negative things that these talk show hosts said about Donald Trump did not prevent him from being elected president of the United States. So why are you even worried about the jokes? So Scott Jennings is playing the victim card, and he's being a snowflake. If you have a comment, we're also talking about the Ten Commandments being declared, putting them in a classroom is declared unconstitutional by a federal judge. And that is the brainchild of our governor, Jeff Landry. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Gentilly. Gary, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I just want to say that, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, close up your windows and doors and pray in private. So we got this modern MAGA Christian. They want to nail their religion on the wall and make everybody else be subjected to it. This is just the tip of the iceberg for the vainglorious, egotistical midget that we have as our governor.
Gary, I'm glad you called the show. We're going to have to see what happens, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. The only thing it's going to do is waste taxpayer dollars. And Governor Landry needs to be called out for taking on an issue that has already been determined to be unconstitutional. Ben is in Mandeville. Ben, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hey.
Hey, Ben.
What commandment has he not violated is my question.
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
I'm sorry, I'm in a bad spot.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
So what commandment did Trump not violate?
Well, I don't know. I don't have them all in front of me. I'm sure there's a few he didn't violate.
Maybe a few.
Can you think of maybe two he didn't violate?
Not really.
Okay.
Thou shalt not kill. I'm quite sure Donald Trump hasn't killed anyone yet.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. How about thou shalt not kill? Yeah, he hadn't
not
killed
directly.
Anybody.
Not directly.
Right. Well, all right. But
not directly.
But he didn't. He hasn't. Let's give him that. All right. He hasn't killed anybody, so he hasn't broken that commandment.
Sure.
All right.
Right.
All right. So, interesting point, Ben. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon to you. I was actually calling just to make a comment about the bottles of wine, but let me just say one other thing since everyone's talking about the Ten Commandments thing. I get it and I understand, you know, it may be unconstitutional and all of that, but in my opinion, I really believe there's, and I know it's going to open up a can of worms here, but the way things are going with some of these kids nowadays, I really believe, you know, they don't get it at home. And there's nothing wrong if you don't, like you said, if you don't want to see it or read it or whatever, don't look at it. I get it. Sometimes we need to open up these kids' eyes to certain things to let them understand that we are not here just on this earth for other reasons. I mean, for the reason that they think, but we're here for a reason. And here are the guidelines of why we are here. And sometimes we need it, even as adults, should be reminded of that as well. Now, as far as you said it was Taylor Swift drinking the 25 bottles of wine.
It was Adele.
I don't believe. Adele, I'm sorry. I don't believe the 25 bottles of wine. I mean, 25 glasses, borderline.
No, bottles. 25 bottles.
I know. No. I'm saying If it was 25 glasses, okay.
Maybe.
I still would say that's all right. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But bottles, no. That's no. I don't know. But I don't think nobody can consume 25 bottles of water.
I got a problem with that too, Kevin. All right, glad you called.
So I think we're envisioning like full bottles of wine.
Yeah,
but one of the texts suggests maybe she's talking about those. You know how they have those little bottles of wine like you get at airports or something like that. You know she's rich. She probably takes a bunch of private flights, private planes, and they may give her those little bottles.
If she's so rich, why is she stealing the bottles off the plane?
They give it to her. They don't steal. But I'm quite sure that she's not talking about big bottles. I'm quite sure she's talking about
small
bottles.
You think she steals hotel towels too?
You never know. She drinks. You know when she gets on the 3 shots of tequila.
No, look, I don't know. If you're gonna drink one of those little small miniature bottles of wine, I think you clarify that. If you say bottles of wine, we all envision a full bottle of wine. So make all the excuses you want. I think Adele is lying here, and I don't know. Maybe she should become a politician.
You know,
I don't think she's drinking 25 bottles of wine and not affected by it.
And so for Kevin's other point about, you know, allowing kids to be exposed to more things, I think that's the parents' job. I don't think that's the job of public school. Plus, it's not to say that Christianity is the end-all, be-all religion. So if you do want to expose kids to, you know, certain religious tenets or whatever, why not include them all? Why just Christianity?
I
think that's the disagree. It's not necessarily like we're against religion. It's more of it's either the parents' job role to do so, and if you're going to do Christianity, include them all. It's one or the other.
Well, if you want to do a thing like at House of Blues, where they have like the symbols of like you know countless religions over the stage. Yeah, do that. That's cool.
Right, it's all or nothing.
There are a lot of peaceful Muslims in this world, very, very peaceful Muslims. And I don't know, that might be the right path for somebody. But this, you know, shoving this down people's throats is the wrong thing. And again, it's doing nothing but costing the people of Louisiana, us, the taxpayers, it's costing us money. And I just think it's a waste of time, and it's just a brazen move by Jeff Landry, who just wants to get some attention. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk-in text line is 504-260-1870. And when we come back, we are going to get to some of your text messages. You can comment on the Scoot on the Air blog, which is CNN Conservative Condemns Late Night TV Host. It's on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the SOTA Facebook page where you could comment. I'll share some of those comments on the air. And we'll be back on WWL. All right, let's go to Coleman with some of your text messages today.
Yeah, we were talking about the Ten Commandments and Jeff Landry earlier. This question says, aren't you an ordained minister and of what?
Yeah, I'm an ordained minister. I am. And I've officiated several weddings. For a certain price, I'll officiate your wedding. I did a good job. And as far as I know, everybody whose wedding I officiated is still married. Although the officiating of a wedding does not come with a guarantee. Because anything can happen, you know.
So does the designation minister only require us to a religious aspect? Like when you say you're a minister or ordained minister, it has to be in a religious concept? Context.
Well, there are non-denominational religions, so I'm a non-denominational religious minister. But, I mean, I could open a church anywhere I wanted to.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I could open a church. The Church of Scoot on the Air.
Don't you already have that? And they stay tuned?
I think I really, you know, maybe I should think about that. Because obviously, you know, there are a lot of people who are kind of going wayward with religion. And, you know, there's so many nuts out there. And, I mean, there's so many people who do this. And they're so dishonest about it that, you know, maybe somebody needs to come along and just, you know, be honest about, we all give our impression of what we think God wants. I'd love to give my impression of what I think God wants, and it would be different from a lot of people that you hear who you might respect in religious
and
in religious
tax
sects.
Breaks.
And what? Oh yeah, think about that. It could be it's a nonprofit.
Yeah.
I like that idea. All right, you got more text?
This one says, now I'm picturing Adele leaving Schwagman's with a few cases of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill in her her VW microbus.
Yeah, I don't know. That 25 bottles of wine in one sitting and staying sober, I find that really hard to believe. Maybe Adele is telling the truth about it, and maybe wine doesn't affect her. I know everybody's body is different, but 25 bottles in one sitting, again, How long's the sitting? Is it like 12 hours? She's just sitting there drinking. You know, that would be two bottles an hour. And I still think that would be a lot for your body to metabolize.
Well, this text says, Scoot, you haven't met my third ex-wife. Apparently she can.
Whoa. Yeah, it's one thing to drink that much. It's another thing to remain sober.
All right, well, what do you think it is? Somebody says Jeff Landry is doing exactly what the voters put him there to do.
To some degree, that's true. Because there are a lot of right-wing radicals in this this state. And this is, look, I have no issue with Republicans. I have no issue with conservatives. I was registered Republican much of my life. I relate to a lot of conservative ideology. In fact, in some ways, based on the way I run my life, I'm more of a conservative than Donald Trump. It's true. Donald Trump is not a true conservative. Not when it comes to true conservative ideology, which I don't know, some of you might have to look up. I mean, a lot of people claim, hey, I'm conservative. Are you really? Do you really know what conservative ideology is based on? Do you understand that? So I have a problem with right-wing radicals. I have a problem with those people who identify as Republicans, but they're not really Republicans. They're not really promoting conservative ideology. They're promoting their own specific beliefs. And that's not what conservative ideology is about. And I have a problem with, this would be the left as well. I have a problem with anybody that wants to impose their beliefs on me. Stand for what you want to stand for. But don't start pushing your beliefs, the specifics of your beliefs or your religion, on me or on any American. That's what I have a problem with. That's the only thing I have a problem with. And that's why I call Jeff Landry a right-wing radical. So, you know, some Trump supporters want to really rub in the victory. But this is their mentality. They want to rub it in. They can't just go, hey, you know what? We won the election and we're going to move on now and everything's great. That's been my attitude. America has spoken. I accept the outcome of the election and let's move forward. But a lot of Trump supporters, based on some things that I read on my Facebook page and some people who call this show, they want to rub it in. I don't think that's, you know, I mean, you can do that if you want to. I mean, I'm not going to let it get to me. But, I don't think that's the way you handle victory. But again, it reflects the mentality of some people, not all, but some people who support Donald Trump. And some people just have this edge to them, and they just want to rub in that Trump won. I'm Scoot on this gray, drizzly, cloudy Tuesday afternoon, and I hope you're not down over this because it's just a temporary weather change. And we'll be right back on WWL. Hey, listen, I got to apologize here. You know, I was talking and I wasn't paying attention, and I mismanaged the clock, you know, like a lot of football coaches do. And we don't have time to do the text off here. So we're going to do it at 3:10, but we've got a really good Tuesday text off plan for you. And I just, honestly, I'm being perfectly honest. I just mismanaged the clock and was just talking and going into other things and forgot about the text off. Didn't leave enough time for it. So we're going to do that going into the break at 3:10. So you'll have to respond quickly because we're going to get the results, during that break, and we'll have the results coming out of that break. So it's going to be a fast text off, but it's going to be a good one. A little different from what we've done before, but I think it's a good one. Also, coming up next hour, I want to talk about the Brady Bunch. There's the Brady Bunch Experience sweepstakes, and you get to stay in the Brady Bunch house with some of the original members. And apparently, the inside of the house has been renovated to reflect the set from the Brady Bunch. So on the inside, the house looks like it did on the show. So we'll talk about that. And also, Barry Williams, who played Greg Brady, he's talking about hooking up. We'll talk about that coming up. All right, Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, we've got some misty rain out there, and it's gray, and I'm just not going to let this weather get me down. We're going to have a chance of some storms tomorrow, but then it's going to be beautiful. And as I have said throughout the show, you know, a lot of people get down in this weather, but I don't let that happen to me. I mean, I kind of enjoy it. You know, it's like this in Portland a lot. I've lived in that. It's like this in Seattle. I lived in it there. And I don't mind it. As I said at the very beginning of the show, When I lived in San Diego and was on the air there, it was beautiful every day. I lived in a penthouse apartment on the beach. No air conditioning in my apartment. We had heating, because you needed heating. Every day in the summer, the high was 72 and the low was 58, somewhere in that area. It got a little warmer inland, but the weather was like perfect. It was beautiful. I grew up here. I missed thunderstorms. I missed rain. I missed seeing what we're seeing today. I missed the break. So I love this break, and I hope you will look at this as just a break in the weather and not let it get you down. And then tomorrow we'll be talking about some storms, but then it's going to be really spectacular through the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk about this Brady Bunch sweepstakes, where you have a chance to win the opportunity to spend the night in the Brady house with some of the Brady actors, some of the characters from the Brady Bunch. And they're now talking about a few private things that they remember about the show, and we'll talk about that. I wrote a blog titled CNN Conservative Condemns Late Night TV Host. And it's about Scott Jennings, the conservative voice on CNN, who wondered, you know, well, when are these late night people going to be funny again? You know, all they do is talk about politics. They're political activists. You know why he's pissed? Because there's a lot of bashing of Trump. It's not that it's bashing of Trump. It's like Trump is the target of comedy. There is no president, there is no presidential candidate who was ever not the target of comedy. Not one. Not one. So this is about being a victim. It's about playing the victim card. And it's what Scott Jennings and people like this do. All Republicans, all conservatives don't do this, but some do. And we'll call them out. And you know, Johnny Carson made fun of people. I wrote this in the blog. But Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and to a lesser degree, Jimmy Fallon, who's not quite as politically edgy as the others. You know, political comedy is part of their stand-up routines. That has been the role of every talk show host at night since the beginning of these shows. Donald Trump is a key figure in pop culture. That is to his credit. He's a marketing genius. So because of that, he's an easy target. He makes himself an easy target. He could just be quiet, and there wouldn't be as much said about him. But when you're such a bombastic character in society, you're going to be the target of comedy. Comedy is based on reality. And yes, Stephen Colbert and some of these people, they have their own political views, and they did not want Donald Trump to win. But with all of those jokes, Donald Trump still won. So the jokes are harmless. Donald Trump won, and that proves that those jokes are harmless. And I've always talked about that. This is not a big deal. But, you know, people are so upset. They're so, oh, my God, you know, poor Trump, poor us. You know, we're made fun of. Let me share some of the comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where this blog is posted, and you can comment on that. Here's a comment from George. It says, Johnny Carson joked about both sides of the political spectrum, but of course you, Scoot, would give just one example of a joke he told. I give an example of a joke that Johnny Carson told about a Senator Joseph Biden, who was running for president on the Democratic side. George, I have limited space in the blog that I write. Yes, I give that example. But all of these talk show hosts made fun of Biden, too. The problem is that a lot of people don't hear it. First of all, if you live in the conservative media echo chamber, they're not going to tell you the jokes about Biden. They're only going to tell you the jokes about Trump so you can get mad about that. And I'm assuming you're not watching any of these shows, so you don't hear the jokes. I watch some of the shows. I know they do jokes about Biden. And we've talked about that. So they do jokes about both sides. And they did do jokes about Biden. That's not my opinion, George. That's a fact. Todd says, comedy is necessary, and some people are going to get offended, but people need to chill and lighten up a bit. I agree. Cosmos says he has a right to be disappointed, Scott Jennings. It's a campaign of pure hatred, and that is sad to see so many Trump supporters are consumed with hatred in their hearts. And there are a few comments to that, as you can imagine. Louis says there is no comedy or anything redeeming about soon-to-be-extinct MSNBC. There is a message there. Louis, we're not talking about the cable news channels, dude. Could you kind of focus on what we're talking about? Maybe if you read the blog and not the headline. Actually, the headline says it. It's a late-night TV host. Well, I guess you didn't read the blog. Some people comment on the headline and they don't read the blog or view the video that is posted on the Facebook page. And it makes them look kind of silly when they don't do that. Chuck says, there are four shows on every night that target conservative ideals. Is that enough for you, Scott? Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Greg Gutfeld on Fox News. The guy's funny. He has comedy people around him. He's not just funny. It's a great show. They make fun of Democrats. Should Democrats be upset about that? That's why you got to get over this. Kirk says, what presidential candidate, oh, he's commenting on what I wrote in my blog. What presidential candidate has not been the target of humor? What president has escaped being the subject of political humor? Zero, none. And then he says, Obama, that's who. Kirk, are you kidding me? I mean, you're kidding, Kirk, right? President Obama was the target of many jokes. I even did a show once where we did an hour of jokes that late night talk show did about President Obama. So when you read this, I don't want to hide all these messages on my Facebook page, but when you read stuff like this, don't be afraid to comment on it. And I'll go back and comment on some of these, but Kirk is wrong. Obama was made fun of. He was the target of jokes because he's the president of the United States. So I'm right. No president has escaped being the target of comedy. Edward says, seems like people don't laugh anymore. They take it. They take life too seriously. Enjoy life. Live, love, laugh. Tomorrow is unknown. We shall never know all the good that a simple smile can do. Beauty is power. A smile is its sword. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, others will do it for us. Really good point. Anyway, you can comment, and you can comment on the comments on the SOTA Facebook page. All right, let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, two things. Number one, Queensryche's playing tonight at House of Blues. So I know it's a little rainy out there. Cue another rainy night. Their big hit song there, Coleman. Now I'm joking. A little bumper music. But look, Queensryche used to play UNO. Back in the day, you know, Scoot, Queensryche was a big band, but
yeah, they were huge. That's
House
cool.
The Blues. They have a new singer. Jeff Tate's doing solo stuff, but yeah, Queensryche's got a new singer, and they're playing the first two albums they ever did tonight in completion, from first track to last, at the House of Blues. But I really wanted to call up and say something about the status of the medical staff. I know the sports show is on at 4:00. But the medical staff with the Saints and the Pelicans, you know, Zion's out. Really, Brandon Ingram's the only guy who's been healthy for the Pelicans. Now Jose Alvarado's out for 6 weeks, hamstring after hamstring. The Saints have all these injuries this year. I just wanted to ask you, maybe you know, what's going on? Is Gail Benson like using the same staff for both, and they're like misdiagnosing these guys? What's going on? Because it's almost as if the Pelican season is over already based on all these injuries.
You know, Jimmy, I don't know. I don't think there's any reason to be suspicious about misdiagnosing anything. These are sports, and there are injuries, and sometimes the injuries mount up. I would hope that the Saints are up to date with doing all they can do to keep the players of the Saints and the Pelicans healthy. I would hope that that is the case. All right, let's do the Tuesday text off. I mismanaged the clock in the last hour, so we're doing it now, and we weren't able to do it earlier. So we've got a different text off here. We've got song A and song B, and usually it's an original and a cover, and you, the audience, gets to decide which is the better song, song A or song B. And we do different things now and then. Last week we did the two big hits by Rick Astley. Which one was the better song? Never Gonna Give You Up or Together Forever, and Never Gonna Give You Up was the winner. So sometimes we do things that are a little different. The other day I thought about two incredibly iconic classic rock songs. Which one is the better song? Which one of these two songs is the better classic rock song? Song A or Song B? Here is Song A. All right, that is Song A. And here is Song B. These are two classic, iconic rock songs. Which one of these two rock songs do you think is the better rock song, head-to-head competition? Song A, Bohemian Rhapsody, or Song B, Stairway to Heaven? All right, text A or B to the Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870. Text A or B. Which one do you think is the better rock song? Text A or B to the Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870. And we'll have the results coming up right after the news. I'm sorry. We'll have the results coming up right after the break on WWL. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Brady Bunch house, and I'm going to tell you how to enter the Brady Bunch Experience sweepstakes, where you could stay with some of the stars from the Brady Bunch in the Brady Bunch house. And let's see, 2018, somebody called about this earlier, and I got some information on it. In 2018, HGTV went in, and they redid the interior to match the set from the Brady Bunch. So the house looks like the Brady Bunch house on the inside now as well. And, of course, it didn't originally. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get the results of our Tuesday text off. A lot of reaction to this. Thank all of you for participating. Song A and Song B, two iconic rock songs. Which was the best? A few of the comments said, not fair. A few comments said, man, this is a tough one. So I get it. These are two great songs. Song A was the loser. I mean, it's a great, great song. It is. In fact, interestingly, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1973, in Leeds, England, Queen began their very first tour. They were the opening act for Mott the Hoople. And I'm sure it didn't take them long to get status of being a major act and not an opening act. All right, Song A was the loser. It was kind of close, but this was the winner, and I agree. They're both great songs, but to me, out of the two, this is the greater rock song. And you know, it's really fascinating. I was there at a couple of those Led Zeppelin concerts back in the 70s. Robert Plant was very effeminate on stage. Not one person ever, that I remember, not one person ever thought he might be gay. I mean, he had a very strong feminine side, long, curly, blonde locks, tight hip jeans, bell bottoms, sometimes wore kind of a midriff top. And, you know, nobody thought he was gay. And today, everybody's looking to call somebody gay. I don't understand. And the very people who were part of the generation that didn't look at the feminine side of Mick Jagger, the feminine side of Robert Plant, you know, they just let that go. Hey, these are who these guys are. They had a feminine side, man. Guys loved them. I mean, not in that way, but, you know, guys loved them and accepted them. Today, it's like, oh, I think he's gay. Oh, look at him. Look at the way he walks. Look at the way he dresses. Look at his hands. Look at the, you know, I don't know why people are so quick to define that today. You know what's changed? People have changed. These performers haven't changed. Well, Robert Plant has changed, but Mick Jagger still has that feminine side. So anyway, I don't know why people have changed as much as they have. All right, so there's a Brady Bunch sweepstakes where some fans are going to be allowed to sleep in the house, in the Brady Bunch house, with some of the Brady Bunch actors. Barry Williams, who played Greg, and Christopher Knight, who played Peter. They did an interview with the Fox News Digital, and they were talking about some of the aspects of the show that they just love doing. You know, in an interview a few years back with Us Weekly, Barry Williams said, quote, "We all hooked up with each other at some point, not necessarily while we were filming." Well, in the interview with Fox News Digital, he said, look, that's not totally accurate. I said that 14 years ago, and things kind of, you know, cycle around. He said, we grew up together. We, the people that we knew and we were the people that we knew and trusted. We spent more time together as a Brady family during that time of year than we did with our own families. And he said, we generally liked each other. and it seemed kind of normal to show affection for each other. So he said Bobby and Cindy actually, off camera, had a fake marriage in Tiger's doghouse. I mean, they pretended to get married. He said, I dated Maureen, who played Marcia. He said, I dated Maureen. We went out. I kissed her. That was her first kiss. He said, that's the kind of hooking up I'm talking about. Now, there were rumors that Barry hooked up with Florence Henderson, who played Carol the mom, that they boinked. He didn't say anything about that. Christopher Knight said, I was a late bloomer. I was very slow. He said, I was being chased by Eve Plum. She played Jan. He said, I was chased by Eve for a number of years. And looking back on it, it was kind of embarrassing, but we didn't really hook up. Christopher Knight says that he was 12 years old when the show began. And he said the environment on the Brady Bunch set was a very warm and inviting environment. And he said he had struggles at his own household. He had struggles feeling validated. He had troubles having a voice. He struggled having a voice. And he said sometimes things felt like a burden. But he said nothing felt like that on the Brady Bunch set. And so, you know, what we're hearing as they look back is that they really felt like a family. And it came across on the air. I mean, they kind of fought like a family and they acted like a family. But think about how much time you spend at work compared to the time that you spend at home. Sometimes we spend more time at work than we do with our loved ones. And so when you're acting like a family, when you're put in a situation to where you're acting like a family, the goal is to act like a family. You know, I guess you can't help but have lines blurred a little bit where you actually kind of feel like a family or feel like you're attracted to each other. So if you're interested in spending a night in the Brady house with the Brady experience, and some of the actors will be there, I don't know, Coleman, do you think somebody would try to make a move on
Maureen? Was wondering, who did
Marcia?
Did they have any info on who Robert Reed may have hooked up with?
It would have been a young guy. Seriously, it would have been a young guy. I mean, Robert Reed would cruise West Hollywood after the show, and he would go hang out in a bar and look for young guys.
So all I caught was the reruns. Did you catch it when it was like live on the air, like when it was episodic?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so when you watched the Brady Bunch, was that your thought? Like, I wonder who's hooking up with who?
Oh, absolutely.
Because when I watched the reruns of the Brady Bunch, I never thought, like, I want the offset who's really hooked. It never crossed my mind, but it seems like that's what everybody wanted to know. I remember they had like one of those cast readings at like a Comic-Con or something like that, and they had some of the cast of the Brady Bunch, and that was all the questions, like who kissed who, like that's it, like what about the comedy, the writing, like nope, they just want to know who.
Well,
smashed.
We know that the characters that played Cindy and Bobby had a little mock wedding. They pretended to get married at Tiger's doghouse. Brady kissed, Greg kissed, Barry Williams kissed Marcia, Maureen, and that was her first kiss. I don't know. Was that all that he did? Or, you know, did he maybe, you know, did he go second base at least?
I don't know. So how do you think the movie compared to the television show?
I thought the movies were great. I really did. I thought they were, especially just the Brady Bunch movie, the basic one. I mean, I thought the Christmas Brady thing was good too, but I thought they were good. I mean, it brought back memories for me because I was young when these were coming out. And it was fun watching them. And I always thought, you know, I wonder if Greg is knacking on Marcia, you know, when the cameras are off. And I remember the episode where Greg jump-started Marcia's menstrual cycle, which was really kind of interesting. Anyway, if you want to enter the contest.
Just one last question.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a controversy, I think it was I Love Lucy, one of those TV shows where the couples slept in the same bed for the same time. So when Brady Bunch came out, was it taboo that families were divorced? Like, here's a mother that already has kids, and
it was.
Here's a daddy that already has sons. Yet, you know, because like that was that. You get what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah,
right?
No, that was divorce was not as common then as it is today. Now they slept in the same bed, And there were times when they would make kind of some kind of suggestion of sex, and then the lights would go out and you kind of envision what they were doing. But, you know, knowing what I knew about Robert Reed, I knew that he wasn't doing it with Florence Henderson. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And then what about Alice? You know, I mean, haircuts never lie. You know, I mean, Alice was, you know, I mean, the whole idea of Alice dating Sam was like, come on.
Yeah,
you know,
Sam was the butcher, right?
If Sam was the butcher. And let me tell you, if Alice was dating anybody named Sam, it was short for Samantha, if you know what I mean. All right, here's how you can enter. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you want to enter the Brady Experience, here's what you need to do. Go to the website, thebradyexperience.com. I mean, that's it. You can enter by going to thebradyexperience.com. And I tell you, you know, it would be cool to see those people today. Barry Williams, who played Greg, is 70 years old today. And I mean, he still looks good, but, you know, I mean, he got older. I got older. You got older. We all, you know, we all got older. But, you know, yeah, that was a real iconic show. And it was, you're right, Coleman, it was unusual. Divorce was not as common then as it is now. And the idea that everybody, I mean, they had fights, but they basically got along. You know, I tell you what was really unrealistic. And anybody who's been in a step-parenting situation, I mean, there are exceptions. But most people who have been in a step-parenting situation know that the idea that the stepmother would come in and be a totally equal parent to the sons and the dad with the daughters, that's kind of unrealistic because you've got to, you know, in those situations where there's divorced people and somebody else's kids, it's a tough, tough position to be in. And you're really not, in most cases, I know there are some great stories out there, but in most cases, I think it's hard to be an equal parent. So that was a little bit unrealistic.
And you was talking about Barry's age today, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's this show that just came out recently called Dr. Odyssey, and John Stamos is in it. And he looks exactly the same as he did when he was in Full House.
I know.
Exactly.
You know what? He made a deal with the devil. He made a deal with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
That's right. They made a deal with the devil. That's why they look the same. So we'll see what happens with their eternal life. All right. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okanar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. The front guy in Chic, Nile Rodgers, who is like an incredible producer. Nile Rodgers was producing Madonna, and he was part of the studio album Like a Virgin, which was number one on the album charts on this day in 1984. Like a Virgin really upset the moralist in America, and a lot of people wanted this song banned. The idea, virgin touched for the very first time, it's like, oh my God, this is horrible. But you know, I don't think this song really had any negative impact on society. It was really a reflection of what was going on in society. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1988, Kylie Minogue's version of The Locomotion hit number 3 on the U.S. charts. It was a song that was a top song for 3 different artists. Kylie Minogue in 1988. 1962, Little Eva did the original, which I remember listening to on my transistor radio. And in 1974, Grand Funk Railroad did a cover. Kind of surprised me that like this band that did the song I'm Your Captain, like Grand Funk Railroad, I mean, they were like rock, did Little Eva. But they did a decent job with it. And I remember playing that on the air years ago. All right. I'm getting text from people who say that Mike Brady was a widower. And yeah, that does sound familiar. But Carol Brady's marital status was never known because the network didn't want her perceived to be a divorcee.
So it was taboo.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's how straight things were back in 1970. I mean, straight and strict things were back in 1970. Hey, remember, you could always rewind our show. Have you done it yet? Have you downloaded the Odyssey app? Just go ahead and do it. Download the Odyssey app, AUDACY, and lock on Scoot. And you can listen back to the show. You could listen back to a specific hour, or you can just listen to the highlights. And Coleman and Ian do a great job of posting those highlights, and so that's cool. So if you haven't done it yet, download the Odyssey app. All right, so yeah, fun talking about the Brady Bunch. All right, so this this controversy with the dolls from the movie Wicked. These dolls are on the market now from the toy company Mattel. The movie comes out November 22nd. And on the side of the box, instead of wickedmovie.com, they posted wicked.com. And that leads you to a porn site. How could Mattel have made this mistake? How could every speck on that box not have been inspected by even more than one person? I mean, this is kind of unforgivable. But it happened. And some people love conspiracy theories and they think, oh, this happened on purpose because they're trying to bring our children into the world of the occult. They're trying to bring our children into porn. People think that they're trying to expose our kids to porn. And, you know, maybe some people are. I mean, you got to be careful because there's some evil people out there. But I don't think Mattel is behind this. But I find it totally unacceptable that Mattel made this mistake. So they've changed it. But, yeah, instead of wickedmovie.com, it's wicked.com. You know, that's a pretty blatant mistake that went totally unnoticed. All right, today on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, we wish happy birthday to Brian Hyland. You know, look, I remember Brian Hyland. Brian Hyland, I think, is 72 years old today. 72 years old. Brian Hyland had a couple of songs. One of them was Gypsy Woman, which I thought was just a fun song, Gypsy Woman. But the song that really got everybody's attention at the beginning of Brian Hyland's career was this song. And I thought this song was, like, so naughty. I mean, I was like this young kid. Again, this is one of those songs that I listened to on my transistor radio. And I thought, oh, my God, a bikini. And she, you know, and then there's some, like, sexy. I thought this song was totally sexual, even at a very young age. I mean, back in the 50s and early 60s, you know, a woman wearing a bikini was really sexual. I mean, they didn't have, you know, thongs or teabags back then. I mean, it was just wearing a bikini was considered really, really sexy.
Yeah, I wonder what they would think about the swimwear nowadays if they went to a current beach.
Yeah, what swimwear? I mean, even when they're wearing something, they're not wearing. I mean, basically, if you wear a teabag, you know, basically you're exposing your entire butt. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just making a statement. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at the rain. It's going to wash all our troubles away. And remember, you know, rain makes the corn grow. Corn's used to make whiskey, and whiskey makes your girlfriend frisky. So, you know, there are good things about rain. All right, I'm Scoot. You know, another great show today. And, you know, yeah, we're going to be back. They're going to let us do it again let us do this again tomorrow. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, Steve Giller coming up next. It's Tulane Tuesday with the head coach, John Summerall. Tulane is ranked 25th in the country, and they take on Navy this weekend. That is a huge, huge game. I can't wait for that one. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, studio producer, Coleman, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. Thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Drive safely. Love you, New Orleans.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.